Jaya, Kali, Tu, Sattvasya, Devarshin, Rajaso, Suran, Tamaso, Yaksha, Rakshamsi, Tat, Kalanuguno, Bajat, Jaya Kali Tu Sattvasya, Devarshin Rajaso Suran, Tamaso Yaksha Rakshasi, Tamka Lanuguno Bayat. And a lady, please. Thank you. Jaya Kali, in the time of prominence, two, indeed, Sattvasya, of goodness, Deva, the demigods, Rishin, and the sages, Rajasaha, of passion, Asuran, the demons, Tamasaha, of ignorance, Yaksha Rakshasi, the Yakshas and Rakshasas, Tatkala Anuguna, according to the particular time, Abhajat fostered. Translation: when the quality of goodness is prominent, the sages and demigods flourish with the help of that quality with which they are infused and surcharged by the Supreme Lord. Similar, when the mode of passion is prominent, the demons flourish, and when ignorance is prominent, the yakshas and rakshasas flourish. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is present in everyone's heart, fostering the reactions of the sattva-guna, raja-guna, tamaguna. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not partial to anyone. The conditioned soul under the influence of the various modes of material nature and behind material nature is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But one's victory and loss under the influence of sattva-guna, raja-guna, and tamaguna are the reactions of these modes, not the Supreme Lord's partiality. Srila Jiva Goswami in Bhagavad Sandarbha has clearly said, sattva-doyo na shantise yatra sa pakita guna Sasudha Sarva Su Debya Puman Adya Prasidatu. According to the statement of Bhagavad, oh, there's one verse more. Ladini Sandini Samvit Tvayeka Sarva Samstito Lada Tapa Kadi Mishra Tvayi No Guna Vajite. According to the statement of Bhagavad Sandharva, the Supreme Lord is always transcendental to the material nature qualities, is never affected by the influence of these qualities. This same characteristic is also present in living beings, but because he is conditioned by material nature, Even the pleasure potency of the Lord is manifested in the conditioned soul as troublesome. In the material world, the pleasure enjoyed by the conditioned soul is followed by many painful conditions. For instance, we have seen that in the two great wars which was conducted by Rajaguna and Tamaguna, both parties were actually ruined. The German people declared war against the English to ruin them, but the result was that both parties were ruined. Although the Allies were apparently victorious, at least on paper, actually neither of them were victorious. Therefore, it should be concluded that the Supreme Personality of God is not partial to anyone. Everyone works under the influence of various modes of nature, and when the various modes of nature are prominent, the demigods or demons appear to be victorious under the influence of these modes. Everyone enjoys the fruit of his qualitative activities. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadvareshu Dehismin. Prakasha upajayate jnanam yada tada vidyam vidham sattvam ityukta lova pravitya arambha karma nam ashama spriya lajasyetani jayante vrivithe baratarshaba apra kraso pravitisha pramado moha evacha Tamas Yetani Jayanti Vividha Vividhe Kuru Nandana. I'm sure people in the heavenly planets enjoy my Sanskrit. The manifestations of the modes of goodness can be experienced when all gates of the body are illuminated by knowledge. The chief of the bharatas, when there is an increase in the mode of passion, the symptoms of great attachment, uncontrollable desire, hankering, and intense endeavor develop. O son of Kuru, when the increase of mode of ignorance is there, madness, illusion, inertia, and darkness are manifested. Supreme Personality of God, who is present in everyone's heart, simply gives the result of the increase in the various qualities, but he's impartial. He supervises victory and loss, but he does not take part in them. The various modes of nature do not work at once. The interactions is exactly like seasonal changes. Sometimes there's an increment of Rajaguna, sometimes Tamaguna, sometimes Sattvaguna. Generally, the demigods are surcharged with Sattvaguna, and therefore the demons and the demigods fight. The demigods are victorious because of the prominence of the Sattvaguna quality. However, this is not the partiality of Supreme Lord. So, Omagyan Timilanda Zyaganandana Shalakayat Sakshut Militam Yenatasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stavitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasit Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama. Thank you for the opportunity to give the morning lecture. I'm excited about it. I wanted to lead your attention to an interesting discussion in Bhagavad Gita when Krishna and Arjuna are discussing the three modes of material nature. Very interesting. In the beginning, Arjuna, now this is 5,000 years ago, imagine, Krishna on the planet, God on the planet, and still people are speculating. Arjuna Uvacha, Yashastra Vidim Utsrija. Interesting, this same Yashastra Vidim Utsrija is in another verse, one who does not follow Shastra. Yashastra Vidim Utsrija Vatati Kamakaraja. Because that's what people do, you know, everybody. Practically speaking, when you get up, when I get up, when I chant, you know, this is what happens. It's mode of nature. Even if I sit down in the morning like today, sit down, I chant, it doesn't take long, then the mind is going somewhere. That's the mode of nature. You can study. You're not free from it. I'm not free from it. That's the mode of nature. Right there carries you to something completely ridiculous if you don't stop it. You end up at the shores of the ridiculous if you don't stop it and pull it back. You see, so now Arjuna inquired, O Krishna, what is the situation of those who do not follow the principle of scripture? Here it is. But worship according to their own imagination. And that's what happens. These people are good-minded. If somebody worships, he's good-minded. It's not nothing. It's not that these are evil people who worship according to their own imagination. That's what people do in generally. Are they in goodness, passion, or ignorance? Krishna says, I save myself to Sanskrit. The Supreme Personality of Godhead says, according to the modes of nature acquired by the embodied soul, one's faith can be of three kinds, in goodness, passion, or ignorance. Now hear about this. According to one's existence under the various modes of nature, one evolves, you, me, he, she, it, everybody on the planet, a particular kind of faith. The living being is said to be in a particular faith according to the mode he acquires. And so that is a situation that Manodharma develops out of mental speculation. It's about Dharma. It's not about eating peanuts or something. It's about Dharma. Somebody tries to find Dharma. But unless that Dharma is coming from Krishna, in an authorized way, Tene Brahmadi Ridaya Adikavaya Moyantya Surayaha. He is Adikavi, Brahma. He's the first teacher. And he received knowledge by performing austerity. He performed austerity, put himself in a humble position of austerity. He didn't claim to know anything. And in fact, I'm now in this movement. I joined on the 1st of January. I just figured out, 1st January. 1972, today is the 20? That means 44 years plus 27 days. And still, I don't claim to know anything outside what I've heard from Srila Prabhupada and what is in scripture. They are opinions, I have opinions, but my opinion, I tell you, although I'm 44 years in the movement, you may be 5 weeks in the movement. One opinion in the ultimate issue is as good as anybody else's opinion. It's not a matter of opinion. Knowledge is not a matter of opinion. Knowledge is a matter of what can be shastrically supported. What is in Shastra? That's actually the conclusion. What is, we say Guru Shastra Sadhu, but the heart piece, the centerpiece of all is Shastra. If a guru is different, deviates from Shastra, he's not a guru. If a sadhu is saying something else than Shastra, he's not a sadhu. The centerpiece to ascertain, to postulate truth is always scripture. That's the point. And therefore we have parampara. And parampara, scripture, these are two tracks and they have to be parallel. If one of them goes off the track, and Shastra doesn't go off the track because Shastra is eternal. It can't go off the track. Guru may get off the track. Then that is what we experience in the material world so many times, that there is the influence of the mode of material nature, the mode of passion particularly. And therefore, we should not trust our mind. We should not trust it. One time a devotee, I remember we were on the morning walk, Rohini, Prabhupada said, what does that sign mean? And Rohini Sutta, Rohini Nandan at that time, he said, that is back in 74. He said, Srila Prabhupada, I think. Prabhupada said, don't tell me what you think. Please tell me what you know. He said, if you want to think, you should go into the closet. Then you can think as long as you want. I want to, do you know what it means? He said, I don't know. Prabhupada said, then don't tell me. It's very clear that our thinking is very much influenced by the modes of nature. It's very tainted. And that's why you have so many types of religiosity. You have in Christianity, originally there was one voice, and that was Jesus. And you have 6,000 different groups of people who don't agree with each other. You cannot say that St. Paul wasn't a serious man. He was definitely serious, but he was under the modes of nature. Because unless one is a pure devotee of Krishna, mamcha yovya vicharina bhakti yoga na sevate sagunan samatiti aitan, unless you transcend the mode of nature, brahma bhuya kalpati, you are in the material world. And so if you study, just on this example, if you study what he says, I'm no more, I didn't listen to any authorities, right in the letters of Paul. I didn't listen to any authorities. He should listen to authority. I'm in no way less than the super apostles, meaning Peter and James and all the rest. Who's speaking? There's anger there. There's independence. And therefore, all the religiosity, Christian religiosity in the West is based on Paul. Whether from the Jehovah's Witnesses to the Methodists, you can go anywhere. Paul is the key. He's the founder of this Upa Sampradaya. It's Upa Sampradaya. And it's based on the mind. It's based on the mind. He is a person, he meant well, but he's not guided by Shastra. He's not guided by Jesus himself. He never met him, in fact. He never met him, in fact. And so, Frank Zappa, I don't know if you know him. Frank Zappa said, of all people, what is the ugliest part of the body? Some people don't have immediate thought. He said, some people say it is your nose. Some people say it is your toes. I say it is your mind. Right so. That's it. The mind is deluded. Always. You know? And so in a discussion, I remember one time Srila Prabhupada said, or some devotee said to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, I'm thinking. Prabhupada said, don't do that. Don't do that. Because it's not important what I think. Since we're at the rock stars, we talked about Frank Zappa, let me talk about Mick Jagger. Mick Jagger said a very good thing. He said, when I was young, I remember, I was young, beautiful, and dumb. And so was I when I joined the Hare Krishna movement. I didn't know anything. He said, and now I'm only dumb. That's actually correct, because we have to stay dumb in front of the lotus feet of Prabhupada. We have to stay dumb. That's what Lord Chaitanya taught, that I'm dumb in front of my Guru Maharaj. That is dead on. We are dumb. We don't know. We are just very small guys that just came to Krishna consciousness. Even 44 years is nothing. It's nothing. It is so fast. Believe me, I know. It is so fast, you know. So we have to understand that the truth is not in our heads. The truth is in Scripture, because nobody else can understand truth unless he is self-realized. There is this famous verse that's quoted by Lord Chaitanya, and it is coming from Mahabharata. And that is, let me find it. Tarko Pratishta, I don't want to give pleasure to the demigods right now again about my Sanskrit. Dry arguments are inconclusive. A great personality whose opinion does not differ from others is not considered a sage. Simply by studying the Vedas, which are variegated, one cannot come to the right path by which religious principles are understood. The solid truth of religious principle is hidden in the heart of an unadulterated, self-realized person. Consequently, all the Shastras confirm one should accept whatever progressive path the Mahajans advocate. That's it. Then, this famous verse, Dharmanhi Sakshat Bhagavad Panita Navai Vidur, etc. Real religious principles are enacted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now it comes. Although fully situated in the mode of goodness, even rishis, great rishis, who occupy the topmost planet, cannot ascertain real religion. Even they. Then he says, nor can demigods or the leaders of the Siddhaloka, to say nothing, of asuras, ordinary human beings, vidya, dharadas, and charanas. Ordinary human beings can't. We are blind. That's why we pray, Om Agyan Timiranda Zeganandana Shalaka, we are blind. You don't know, and I don't know. I tell you that. I don't know. We are like children. We have to hang on to Prabhupada. Look, the Gaudiya Math, very respectable gentleman, a whole life of devotion, and still so much bewilderment. The followers of Advaita Acharya, many of them were his personal seminal sons, fell into Maya. You know, I don't know if you ever heard this. Prabhupada talks in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The verse is, I offer my respectful obeisance to Sri Advaita Acharya's real followers, whose life and soul was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The followers of Advaita Acharya were two kinds. Some were real followers and the others were false. Rejecting false, at first all the followers of Acharya shared one single opinion, but later they followed two different opinions as ordained by Providence. So if as soon as there are two opinions, we should be very careful. We should be careful. That means there's controversy. That means it is not clear. It is not clear. If it's not clear, we should not act. Just like Prabhupada gives a practical example, if you're in the night, or take it like this, in your life you find, you're young people, you find sometimes you're confused. You may ask me, Preeti Prabhupada, I'm confused. Why are you confused? Because you try to make a decision when things are not clear. When things are clear, you don't come to anybody and say, I'm confused. So Prabhupada gave the example, when in the forest it is dark and you don't know where to go, don't make a decision, because if you do, you end up in a ditch. Better wait till it becomes perfectly clear. And then the sun rises, here is the way and there's the ditch. So in life, I've encountered so many difficult situations, incredible difficult situations in my life, being disgraced and whatnot, due to my own foolishness. And I know one thing I do, that sometimes we have to wait for Krishna. We have to wait till things are crystal clear and then we move, not before. We shouldn't. Otherwise we make mistakes. So here are these highly elevated people, and it says in scripture, some of the disciples strictly accepted the order of the Acharya, others deviated independently, concocting their own opinions under the spell of Maya. There you have it. Concocting their own opinions. Therefore, opinion is not important. That's not what cuts the mustard. It doesn't cut the mustard, opinion. Important is, what is actually Shastric? What is actually supported by Guru Shastra Sadhu? It's not my head better than your head. That's not an issue. We are all fools. The whole world is a ship of fools. You know, and if I'm the king of fools, I admit it. One of them, not the biggest. I tell you who is. Prabhupada said, he came, Shama Shunda told me, I'm good friend with Shama Shunda. Prabhupada drove into Calcutta. And on every, in his car, and Shama Shunda was sitting beside him, in the front, I think, what was it? Mukunda was driving Prabhupada in the back. On every lamp pole, on every tree, there was a picture of Vivekananda, like this. You know this picture, it's a turban, like this. Prabhupada said, do you know what he's saying? He said, I don't know. Prabhupada said, you see, look at him, he's saying something. He said, what does he say? Prabhupada said, he's fool number one. I'm fool number one. That's fool number one. If you present yourself as an authority in spiritual life, that's the worst. And you don't know, you're fool number one. You know? Even if you commit so many mistakes, Krishna will forgive. Listen. When Ravana was killed by Krishna, there's a famous story. Bibhishana was very sorry because his brother was killed. He was right there. So Ram turned to him and said, don't be upset. I had to kill him. Do you know why? He said, why? That he abducted my wife, that I could forgive him. That he came in the form of a sannyasi to abduct my wife. I have to kill him for that. I cannot forgive him that. You see, if you present yourself as being in knowledge, in a high position, and you don't have that knowledge, you cannot actually, it is unforgivable. It's no. If you run out in my own life, and I ran out of ability to run a particular position, you have to resign from it. Otherwise you're in trouble. You see, so it is very, very important that the truth is hidden in the heart of people who are on a very high level. And let's continue this conversation a little bit. He said, the order of the spiritual master is the active principle in spiritual life. Anyone who disobeys the order of the spiritual master becomes immediately useless. There's no need to name those who are useless. I've mentioned only to distinguish them from the useful devotees. And then Prabhupada talks about the Gaudiya Math. And I don't want to read it all. He says, followers of the Gaudiya Math have split into two parties. That was a disagreement. Somebody thought this, somebody thought that. He said, another group created their own concoction about executing his desires. So it's not that they say, well, we want to do our own thing, forget about Bhakti Siddhanta. No! They said, we follow Bhakti Siddhanta, but in this particular way. In this particular way. They had their opinion. And so they were fighting this opinion, that opinion. And one of my friends, what was his name? Jai Satchinandan. He went to the Yoga Pit and he asked, I read in Lilamrita that in the back of the temple of Yoga Pit there was a printing press. What happened to it? He said, well, it's in the basement. So it is printing. No, since when? Since 36 years it is not printing. That's what Prabhupada said. What happened? Let's go on here. They all tried, in other words, they tried to serve Bhaktisiddhanta according to their concoction about executing his desire. Then Prabhupada says, consequently, both factions became useless because they had no authority, behaving differently as Bhaktisiddhanta desired. One should judge every action by the result. The members of the self-appointed Acharya party who occupied the property of the Gaudiya Math are satisfied, but they could not make progress in preaching. Here's a point, you know. Therefore, by the result of their action, one should know that their asara or uses, whereas the success of the ISKCON party, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which strictly follows Guru Guranga, is increasing daily all over the world. Now it comes. About the printing press. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta wanted to print as many, that's why Prabhupada hangs this at the end of it. It's very significant. He wanted to print as many books as possible and distribute them all over the world. We have tried our best in this connection and we are getting results beyond our expectation. That's it. That's why Prabhupada said books are the basics. You ever heard of that? Still in ISKCON? Remember that? Preaching is the essence. Purity is the force to distribute Krishna consciousness is not how you dress. Somebody thinks that if he dresses with a pink ball, with a baseball hat and shorts, he can preach better. It's not Guru, what is it? Krishna Shakti Guru, what is it? Krishna Shakti Vina Nata Prabhupada. It is that Shakti, and Prabhupada had that Shakti. He could do it. He could go to the West, although he looked from the Western standard like a person who came from the moon. Still, he could preach because he had Shakti. I remember he came in 1974 and I invited Professor Durkheim. He's a very, very important man. He brought Zen Buddhism to the Western world. We wouldn't know anything about Zen except through Durkheim and his friend, Father LaSalle. So somehow or other, I got hold of him. Shamashunda called me. He said, organize something, Prabhupada comes to Germany. I arranged, I talked with him on the phone, I sent him some books, I said, look at the books, I call you back in 2 weeks, let me know what you think. He said, I'm coming. So he came, he sat down, Prabhupada said, I'm so glad, Professor Durkheim, he's a noble person, he's a count. His family is 800, 900 years old, he's a noble, he's an aristocratic person. And so was his demeanor. And he said, Professor Durkheim, what is your philosophy? And Professor Durkheim spoke and spoke and spoke. Then Prabhupada, after some time, he shook his head. So Durkheim said, Swamiji, what do you think? Prabhupada said, not very intelligent. Durkheim said, Swamiji, why? And then Prabhupada explained to him, it was gorgeous. And I was the translator, I tell you, it was one of these moments, you know, one of these moments. So, I was translated in another instance when he talked to the priest, not that one, that was in English. But I was there and I heard how Prabhupada explained to him Krishna consciousness. At the end of the discussion, Professor Durkheim threw himself in front of Prabhupada's Vyasa-san. He was 78 years old. Prabhupada was 78. He threw himself in front of Prabhupada's seat, grabbed his foot, and said, "Swamiji, please accept me as your younger brother." It was gorgeous. It was because Prabhupada had Shakti. When I brought Durkheim to the airport, he said, "Preetu Das, I've met many gurus in India, I've met many swamis, I've met many important people in spiritual matters. I have never met a man like this. This man is through, that means he's on the other side, as durch. Der Mann ist durch." He said, "This is a very special day for me." Prabhupada had that Shakti because he clinged onto the lotus feet of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati like nobody else. Therefore, he could do, I mean, look at the, when you see these thousands of people coming here, what kind of piety Prabhupada is creating in the hearts of all these more or less pious or impious people. How much piety he created by creating the ISKCON Society. It is due to Shakti that he could preach. It's not a matter how you dress. It is not a matter that today I wear a different type of clothes. People will accept us. They don't accept us. People don't accept the Hare Krishna movement in the West. A classical example is in the middle of Mangalarati. I told the story many times. All of a sudden, two cops came in, grabbed the brahmachari, put his feet on the back, handcuffed him, and dragged him out of the temple. I said, "What are you doing here? I'm the temple president." He said, "Mr. President, you know only half the story." I said, "What is it?" "There's a warrant. We are looking for him. There's a warrant out for him. The judge is looking for him. He's escaping a warrant." 2 days later, the boy called me, said, "I talked to my lawyer. Tomorrow I have to go to court. The judge is waiting for me. Please come." The lawyer said, "It would be very good if you speak up for me." So I went. So when my turn came, the judge said, "What do you have to say?" I said, "Your Honor, let me ask you. The court system is there to rectify people. Is that correct?" He said, "Exactly. That's it." I said, "The boy is rectified." He said, "How you say?" I said, "No question of his charge was that he had dealing drugs before he came to Krishna consciousness." He said, "No question of dealing drugs anymore. Not even taking, not even tea, coffee, alcohol, cigarettes, nothing of this." The judge sat there. "No fish, no eggs, no meat, nothing. No gambling, no sex." As soon as I said that, the judge said, "No sex." "No sex." I said, "No, only in marriage." He said, "That's worse than hell. He's sufficiently punished. Take him with you." That's what it is. You can dress as you like to people. Once you come to this point, 99% of the people, they go out of the door. You lost them. Right there. You lost them right there. You know, it was the one point that convinced me the most, actually, when I came to Krishna consciousness, because that's the most difficult point of all. You know, so it is not a matter how we dress. Some people think we should cuddle with the karmis or, you know, some or other. It is not a matter. You don't want to cuddle, because if you do so, you get the wrong type of people to join us. One moon is better than 1,000 of stars, Prabhupada said. Better keep our standards high. So that not people join who become then impediment and who introduce all kinds of things according to their mind because they're on the mental platform. We don't want that at all. We want rather, Prabhupada said, "Don't keep bad cows, better the cowshed is empty." Prabhupada quote unquote said, "Better the cowshed is empty. Don't invite everybody here." We want to invite people who are ready to do that, who are willing to follow Guru Shastra Sangha, who are not willing to follow the head anymore because they have seen, "I'm tired of it, of following my head. What did it bring me to, following my head? What did it bring you? Does it kill the beast inside if you follow your head? For sure not. How do you get rid of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy? It's in the heart of everybody. It's in my heart. It's in the heart of, how do you get rid of that? By following your head? You can't. You have to do something else. You have to admit, number one lesson, I'm a fool. Fool number two, as you just heard. And so I have to hear. I have to hear from Shastra, I have to hear from Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, I simply become bewildered by the modes of material nature. And so therefore, it says here in the scriptures that purity is a force, utility is a principle. We should not forget this. This is actually what set Prabhupada apart from the whole Gaudiya Math. It was said he was printing books. He said, I have no qualifications, but my spiritual master told me, if you have any money, print these books and distribute them all over the world. So is there book distribution? I've asked many times this situation. Somebody has so many ideas. They say, now let me ask you the question. What about books? One person, I won't know his name, I will not repeat his name. Big man in our movement. You know what he said? Books, books, Srila Prabhupada books, I can't take it anymore. I said, Prabhu, books are the basics. Books are the basics. It's very, very important that we understand, not just distributing, also reading. In London, Prabhupada, I was right there, he said, not just you just distribute these books, you also have to read them. They are the basics of the whole thing. You know, we have to be very careful if we want to keep ISKCON in one piece. If we start following our own mind, you immediately have faction. As soon as you understand their factions, people on one side, people on, you know, there's Maya, that's Daivi Maya right at work. If it's clear, if it's Krishna conscious, we all agree. If there's disagreement, that means Maya. 100%. There's Maya at work. Maya is very crafty. It cut the Gaudiya Math into pieces. And it's about to cut our movement as well into pieces. It's Maya. To be very careful and wait till it becomes very clear to everybody, which way we want to go. That's the way to go. So, how much time? I have another quarter of an hour, I believe. Let me give you some other idea. In the Gita, Krishna says, deluded by the three modes of nature, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes and inexhaustible. Queen Kunti, she said, being beyond the range of limited sense perception. She spoke so eloquently, admits that everybody is beyond, God is beyond the range of limited sense perception, means mind or central perception. You're the eternally irreproachable factor covered by the curtain of the deluding energy. You're invisible to the foolish observer. And that's what it is. We are foolish observers. We don't know. We have to hear. We have to learn. But people don't, and therefore there are so many different types of religion. Fortunately enough, we have Lord Chaitanya, and the verse is that says it all. Sri Chaitanya Prabhu Vande Balo Piyat Anugrahat Taren Nana Mata Graha Vyaptam Siddhanta Sagaram. I offer my obeisance to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy even an ignorant child can swim across the ocean of conclusions about the Absolute Truth. An ocean of conclusions, which is full of the crocodiles of various theories. There you have it. This crocodile, that crocodile. This idea, that idea. This idea of following Srila Prabhupada, that idea of following Srila Prabhupada. It's an ocean. It's an ocean in which we catch ourselves. And therefore we have to be very careful that the truth is only hidden in the heart of an unalterated, self-realized person. Therefore one should accept whatever a Mahajan advocates. So, let me finish here. Do you have any questions? Yes. Not Maharaj, it's just Preetu Das. Thank you.
Earlier you were mentioning about when there's two opinions, there's controversy. So it made me think of a pastime in Srimad Bhagavatam with Maharaj Priyavrata, where, you know, Narada Muni, his guru, and also Brahma, both of his authorities had two different instructions from the same sampradaya, and it seemed like you know, there was a controversy or a conflict in ideas of what they wanted, and through his introspection, he was able to formulate a plan of action to please both of his gurus, internally Narada Muni and externally Brahma, because Narada Muni wanted him, was teaching him bhakti yoga through Brahmacharya, and then Brahma wanted him to rule the earth. And so it seems like, and there was his authorities, but it's like he had to do this introspection to
form. That's the point. That's the point right there. Introspection.
So, but and then it seems like then you were mentioning like about thinking, that thinking isn't good, like knowing. So when we're in this position where we have to do introspection, and it's connected to thinking or something, how do we, you know, move forward where it's not mental speculation, but it's realization, etc.
Well, my advice to you is, if it's not clear, don't act. You're not going to make a mistake. Krishna will confirm from within the heart. He will tell you what's right. If you wait, we have to wait for God sometimes. We really have to wait. If it's unclear, be sure there's something you don't know yet around the corner. You know? If something is clear, it's clear, do it. But if things are not clear, and particularly if you see other people agree with what, disagree with what you do, be very careful. You know, I personally wouldn't go there. I'm very careful in that sense, you know. And if it's not clear, I don't act. I just wait. In this way, you can't make a mistake. You just say, well, my dear Lord, I don't know. When Prabhupada installed the temple, the deities in the temple in Vrindavan, he said, now you can go to Nityananda. He didn't say, or to Gonitai, he said. He didn't say, go to Radha Krishna. He didn't say, go to Radhisham. Like people stand always in front of Radhisham. It's actually philosophically not correct. Prabhupada himself said, you go to Gonitai and you ask, my dear Gonitai, I have this problem. Please help me. That's the way to go. You have to go to Gonitai. You have to go to Nityananda. I always surprises me that everybody stands in front of Radhisham, but actually, you know, Nita Pada Kamala Koti Chandra Sushitara, that is actually the shelter for the devotees. That is actually where they can ask, because you are Jaga and I'm Madai in this play, you know. So he is, Lord Chaitanya ran out of patience when Nityananda was still pleading for Jaga and Mother, and that's you, you're Jaga, I'm Mother, I admit that. That's where we are, you know? And so we have to be very careful in being so self-assertive that we know. We don't. We don't. We know that we have to listen to Prabhupada. We know we have to listen to, and if it's ambivalent, it can be ambivalent what Prabhupada said. Because he said things at different places. I was there in Paris, not Paris, in Numayapur. Prabhupada gave a lecture. And after the lecture, he asked for questions. Somebody said, Srila Prabhupada, you said one time. Prabhupada said, who said that I said that? He said, such and such. Prabhupada said, I did not say that. He said, you should know. It was very funny to hear this from his own mouth. He said, you should know there are many Prabhupada said this and Prabhupada said that, but Prabhupada never said that. You know, so I've heard it. You know, I go in front of the deity and tell you the same, repeat the story. I heard it with my own ears. You know, and then even sometimes something is very time, place, circumstances. Like in the beginning, it was Swamiji. Prabhupada asked the devotees, how shall I address me, Swamiji? Then it became Prabhupada in a later stage. So there's a timeline there, a time, place, circumstance. Sometimes that's why we should be very careful what he said in his last days. And I tell you something, now you remember me. You know what he said just before he died? I was there. Bhakti Shru Swami was there. I was there. There were two people in the room. And Prabhupada wanted medicine from him, second last day. And he said to Bhakti Shru Swami, did you close the bottle? He said, no. Prabhupada said, that's your disease, all of you. You know how to open bottles. You don't know how to close them. You start so many new things, you don't see the consequences. There you have it. right there. That was one of the last things he said. The other thing, very last thing I remember before he actually left the body, was everything moving and non-moving, there's nothing but Krishna. This consciousness is called Krishna consciousness. That was the last word I heard from him. And I was there a lot in the last 3 weeks. So the tendency of human beings, of humans, is to open bottles and don't know how to close them. You make a decision that may have huge consequences for hundreds of years in our society. Be very careful. The whole world is opening bottles. That's why we have environmental pollution, chemical pollution, biological pollution, genetic pollution, the bodies are polluted, the food is polluted, everything is polluted because of opening bottles. That's what it is. The whole world is in a mess because of opening bottles. This arrogance that I think I know, the lack of humility, instead of standing with folded hands and standing in front of Guru Maharaj, say, I don't know, please tell me, what should I do? That's the thing, the arrogance is there, you know? So I heard it. You know how to open bottles, all of you. You know how to close them. You start so many new things, you don't see the consequences. Yes? Any other question? And I thank you so much. I'm glad to be in ISKCON. This is still the best society in the world. I can't think of anything else. It is what it is. After all, we're living in the material world. Still, this is the top. And anybody who lives in ISKCON, he can be very happy. Let's stay together. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna. Good.